This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. What a wonderful day to be in worship together. It's my privilege to welcome all of you to this time. For those of us who are joining online, greetings and welcome. And those who are here in the sanctuary, we're so glad to see your faces here in person. I've had a chance to meet some folks who are visiting with us, some from out of town who've been worshiping with us online for several years, and we're just so glad to see you here in person this morning. And I would invite everyone to take a moment to let us know that you're with us. There are registration pads here in the sanctuary in the center aisles, if you'll pass those down the row and back again. And as they come back to the center, if those of you sitting on the center wouldn't mind tearing off the pages that have been filled out, that would be very helpful for our ushers. If you're worshiping online, there should be a link there in the chat or on the screen that you can use to sign in digitally. I wanted to thank our children for leaving some of their vacation Bible school decorations up for us this morning. We had a wonderful week of vacation Bible school this week, and the theme was a camping theme, and it was all about adventure and loving kindness, and we wanted to share some of that message and some of that fun with you this morning as we worship. So if you're wondering about these decorations, they're from our children in vacation Bible school. Right after this service, we invite you to join us for lemonade on the lawn, which we hope the weather will permit. We can go out this way to the West Lawn, which is right here. You can also get there by taking the elevator downstairs to the first floor and going out if stairs are difficult to navigate. That is a very long-standing tradition at West End many years ago, and we decided, why not do lemonade on the lawn again and perhaps begin a new way of fellowshipping together in the summer months. Next week, our summer Sunday school series for adults will pick back up, and we'll spend the last weeks of July around tables together, sharing in conversation and fellowship. We know that coming out of this time of pandemic, one of the things we're all hungry for is fellowship and connection. And so we invite you across the generations to come to McWhirter Hall during the Sunday school hour and share in fellowship and conversation together. Some of those conversations will be guided and others will be a little less formal, but we hope that you'll come and connect with one another. And just as a reminder, tomorrow our church office and building will be closed in honor of Independence Day. But we'll all be back in the office on Tuesday. This morning we continue our journey with Jesus as he and his disciples make their way toward Jerusalem. So let us open ourselves, our lives, to hear what he has to teach us about being his messengers in this world. Let us worship together.
Oh, God of the harvest invites us here. Here we are fed with an abundant feast. God of the harvest calls us to faithfulness. God equips us for the work ahead. Let us worship the God of the harvest this day. May our lives and our worship bring glory to God. Let us come now before God with our confessions, with the assurance that who we are, that what we carry, are held within the God of perfect love, who knows us intimately, who cares for us deeply, and whose compassion and mercy have no end. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, we will now exchange signs of reconciliation and love in whatever ways feel most comfortable to you this morning. The peace of Christ be with you.
Let us join together in the prayer for illumination. Lord, Open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel according to Luke. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and every place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near.'" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
With the children, for those of you who are here, if you want to join me up here, and you have to go around these side ways because it's Communion Sunday and the rail is closed. And if you're worshiping from home, just get a little closer to your screens. Come on up. I'm glad to see you this morning. Oh, that looks like a ram. Love that. Come on in and have a seat. I enjoyed being with some of you in Vacation Bible School this week. It was so much fun. I hope you learned some things and made some new friends. I'm already excited to do it again next year. All right, welcome, welcome. So, as many of you know, my name is Carol. And there are several groups that I'm a part of in my life that I'm really proud of, that some groups that I'm very loyal to. One of those is I am a graduate of Duke University. Woohoo! Go Blue Devils! And so when Duke is playing basketball, I put on my shirt and I cheer for the Duke team because I'm a Duke Blue Devil. So that's part of who I am. I am also someone who is a citizen of the United States of America. And this weekend, we're celebrating Independence Day. We're thinking about all the things that we love about our country and what makes America a good place to live.
And so, I like the decorations.
Thank you. I like the decorations too. Aren't they sparkly? So, that's part of who I am, one group that I'm a part of. I am also a part of West End United Methodist Church. And when I put my name tag on Sunday mornings, or when I go out to visit people in the hospitals or go out in the community, I tell people, I belong to West End United Methodist Church, and I'm loyal to this place, and I love this place. But all of those things that I'm a part of, the most important thing of all that really tells me who I am is this right here. This is where we do baptisms, remember? And in this bowl is the water that we use for baptism. And when I was baptized, the church told me that I was a child of God. And above everything else, I follow Jesus. And I am most loyal above all other things to Jesus and to following him. And sometimes, you know, there are players on the Duke basketball team that don't act very nicely, and I don't always agree with what they do, Christian Leitner. Sometimes there are things that happen in our country or decisions that are made that maybe I disagree with or I don't feel great about. Sometimes it's true that even our church isn't perfect, and sometimes we make mistakes. But God is with us all, helping us all to be better. The most important thing is that we remember that above all else, we are citizens of the kingdom of God. We're children of God, and the most important one we follow is Jesus. So let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for all the wonderful groups and things we get to be a part of. We thank you most of all that you claim us as your children and that you long for us to be like Jesus and to love as he loved and to remember that we are loved. So help us to know that no matter what, you love us, you always will, and that you'll continue to show us how to be your faithful disciples. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, thank you. It's good to see you. If you are 3, 4, or 5, you can go with Pastor Maggie and Miss Emily to Children's Church. If you're older than that, you can go back to sit with parents or friends. Those are also part of the decorations. Aren't they colorful and beautiful? I think so, too. If you've been worshiping with us for a while, you may remember that one of the things we used to put in our bulletin every week was a listing of the staff. We thought it was important that folks, especially those who are visiting, would know, you know, that Emily Robbins is our youth director, or that Stacy Harwell Dye is our director of outreach. But at some point, it was maybe during the pandemic, we realized that it was challenging sometimes to get information out and to make sure that people were informed about ministries that were happening. So we decided to take that staff page out of the bulletin and replace it with 3 or 4 big headlines of the week. Now, you let us know if that doesn't work well for you, but we thought we'd give that a try and see how it worked. But one of the things that I loved about that listing of the staff is that at the very top, it said ministers. Does anybody remember what it said? All members of West End United Methodist Church. All members of the West End family. That's what Martin Luther used to call the priesthood of all believers. Every one of us is a minister of the gospel. When you were baptized, if many of you were confirmed, you said yes to being one of Christ's representatives in the world. We're all in mission. Whether we are in mission on a college campus or in an assisted living place where we live or going to an office 40, 50 hours a week, whatever our daily lives, whatever our context, whatever our personal gifts and talents may be, each one of us is a minister of the gospel. And there are as many ways to live that out as there are people who follow Jesus. So what we have this morning is a few verses in Luke's gospel where Jesus gives some instructions to his disciples on how to be in mission. And I think as diverse as our missions and our callings are, we all have something to learn from what Jesus tells these disciples. Now, it's a communion Sunday, so our primary focus is having enough time around the table. My time up here is brief. And this is a rich text. There is so much in every single verse for us to ponder and think about that I cannot begin to do it justice. So I want to invite you to take this text home with you, if you haven't already spent time reading it slowly and pondering it, to do so and to listen to what arises for you in these verses. But what we are going to do this morning is what the poet Billy Collins called water skiing over the text. In honor of 4th of July, we're going to water ski over the text. Or in honor of the new Top Gun movie, we're going to do a flyover. And I just want to point out some things in this text and then leave it in your good hands and your good hearts to ponder in your own way, in your own time. But there's so much good to hear and to see in this text. One of the first things we notice as we get up on our skis is that Jesus is sending out 70 of his disciples. Some manuscripts say 72. 70. I don't know about you, but many of us, when we think of Jesus' disciples, we think of the 12. And really, we think of Peter, James, and John. A few of the other ones get lines every now and then in the Gospels, but we really think of the disciples of Jesus being a very closed and small group. And sometimes that can make us think that the real ministers are those who've been to seminary or who wear the robes or who are on church staffs. But here we have Jesus sending out 70 people whose names we don't even know. We don't know their stories. And many scholars tell us that this number 70 is a symbolic number. It's complete. Jesus is sending out all of his followers. In the book of Genesis, in chapter 10, the number of the nations of the earth is 70. So all of Jesus' followers are being sent out to all the nations of the earth. No one is left out. And he sends them out how? Two by two. Not one of them goes alone. Each minister of the gospel is sent out with at least one companion for fellowship, for support, perhaps for safety, to bear witness to the love of God to those to whom they're sent. It was the practice in the judicial system then that you had to have two witnesses to bear witness to the truth. But it's an important reminder that in the lives that we live, in the ministries that we're about, we are never alone. If we think we're alone, if we try to act alone, may Jesus' words remind us of who we're called to be. So Jesus sends out the 70, sends them out in pairs, and he gives them instructions. And we're going to ski over these instructions and see what they might have for us. He says to them, don't bring a purse, don't bring a bag, don't wear sandals, don't greet anyone on the road. Don't greet anyone on the road. Don't stop. It's urgent. He's pointing to the urgency of getting to where you're going. There's no time to lose. The world needs to hear the good news of God's love through Jesus Christ. So don't dilly-dally. And don't bring with you your resources. Don't bring with you anything that will allow you to accumulate things along the way. Don't bring anything that would make you self-sufficient. That's a challenging word, isn't it? Being sent out into the world vulnerable, dependent on those to whom you go. It's a power shift. I think sometimes in our history as Christians, we've had this pattern of going into a place with all the resources and all the power and all the desire to control the outcomes, thinking that we're there to help save these people to whom we go. And yet Jesus seems to be turning that upside down. Go with nothing. Allow them to welcome you. Allow them to feed you and care for you. Travel light. You don't have all the answers. You don't have all the resources. In fact, he says, when you go into a place, eat whatever they put in front of you. Now, what does that mean? That's another piece for you to take home and ponder on your own. What I hear in that is a pretty radical statement on Jesus' part, because all of these 70 disciples were devout Jews. And they would have been very careful about what they ate and what they didn't eat. They had very clear laws about foods that were clean and unclean. And if you remember, if you were here last week, Jesus is heading into a part of the country that includes Samaritans and Gentiles, people who would eat very differently from these Jewish disciples. And so for Jesus to say, wherever you go, eat what they put in front of you. Give yourself over to the way they do things. Enter into their culture with humility and openness and vulnerability. I'm sorry, we got to keep water skiing, but I'd love to pause there a little bit longer. Go with no bag, no purse. Depend on the hospitality of those who welcome you. And then he says, here is your mission. The first thing you do is to offer peace. The Tissot painting on the cover of our bulletin was the best image I could find of that crossing the threshold into a household and offering peace. Not coming in condemnation or judgment or with a critical eye, not coming to change or to overpower or coerce, but coming in peace, announcing and embodying the peace of Christ. Announce peace, cure the sick. Isn't that interesting? That Jesus is concerned about people's bodies, people's health, about the very real suffering that these disciples will encounter in whatever village they enter. Take care of people's bodies. Help to heal wherever they are suffering. We have a good example of this in our Methodist history. If you know much about Methodist history, you know that the spread of the Methodist movement is intertwined with the early days of our country. And in the days of the colonies and in the time of the Declaration of Independence, there were Methodist circuit riders going out to the far corners of settlements, spreading the Wesleyan way and the good news of the gospel. They carried a Bible with them, and they also carried a little book written by John Wesley called Primitive Physic, with home remedies to help people in healing their physical bodies. For many of these communities to which the circuit riders went had no physicians, they had no doctors, they had no expertise. And so these circuit riding preachers would go in and tend to people's health and well-being, both of body and soul. And we can see through Jesus' ministry his dedication to healing people's bodies and offering them the love and grace of God. So how is it our mission to tend to the suffering of the people in our community? What are the ways that we can heal and cure and offer wellness in all the ways that people need it in our community? Announce peace, heal the sick, and proclaim that the kingdom of God is near. That's very literal in this text. Jesus is sending these disciples out in pairs to tell these villages that he's coming. The kingdom of God is near to you. Jesus is moving toward you and is ready to offer you life. Isn't our mission just that? To go to the four corners of the earth and to let people know that God is moving toward them with arms wide open. That God is for them, that God loves them, that God wants for them abundant life and belonging and well-being and salvation. What a privilege it is to be a messenger of that good news. I can think of many experiences where I have felt that privilege and that joy. Every time we gather at the table, those of you who serve communion here, you know what it feels like to offer someone, this is the body of Christ for you. I got to do that last week at Pride, to stand there with the communion elements and say, God loves you. This is a sign of God's grace for you and toward you. I've stood in the chapel at Riverbend Prison and said, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Wherever we are, that is our message that we have the joy and privilege of carrying out into the world. So we've water skied over this text at a high speed. And I want to invite you in these last few moments to close your eyes if you'd like to. You don't have to. But just to think about, what is your mission field? Where does God call you to live and move around on a daily basis? Who are the people that you encounter, the faces that you see? How are you called to announce peace? How might you be called to heal the brokenness that you see? And how might you be called to announce that the kingdom of God is very near? May this time of worship, this time at the table, nourish you and fill you so that all of us together at the end of this service can hear Jesus' words, go and proclaim the gospel.
In response to the call of Jesus, let us rise in body or spirit as we affirm our faith using number 883 in the United Methodist hymnal. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to our prayer time, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you would like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout this week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website. Or if you're here in the sanctuary with us this morning, there are gray cards in the pew rack in front of you that you can place in the offering plates when they are passed. Before we get started with our births and deaths, we have a special birthday. Betty Dobson will be celebrating 101 years on this earth, and I think that deserves applause. Happy birthday, Betty. Bill Ferris also reminded me that this weekend marks the 5th year of ministry for Carol Kevin Dillon and for Brandon, and I also think that deserves applause. The rose on the altar today celebrates the birth of Azalea Pacifica Reyes, who was born on June 7th. In Los Angeles, California, to Ellen and Carlos Reyes. She is welcomed also by her big sisters, Jessamine and Iris, and by her grandparents, Linda London and Edwin Voorhees. This morning, we extend sympathy to the family and friends of Wilson Woody Sims, who passed away on June 26th at the age of 97. Among his survivors is his wife, Linda Sims. Memorial service will be held on Wednesday, July 6th at 11 a.m. Visitation will be here at West End United Methodist in Reed Hall on two separate days, Tuesday, July 5th from 4 to 6 p.m. and Wednesday, July 6th, beginning at 9:30 a.m. until the time of the service on Wednesday. We mourn with Lucas Luttrell and his fiance, Jonathan Garlett, over the death of his 10-year-old niece, Kaylee Hunt, who died in a boating accident yesterday. A memorial service for Ruby Fowinkle, who passed away on June 23rd, will be held on Saturday, August 6th at 2 p.m. Visitation in Reed Hall will precede the service here, beginning at 12:30 p.m. And now we turn to God in prayer. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of America, God of the world, we give you thanks for those freedoms we experience here, the ability to vote, to move freely across borders, to speak our mind. We are grateful to be a nation not currently at war. We pray for those nations who are. We realize we have much more work to do to embrace the kingdom that you have called us to, where all can flourish. We celebrate that which is good and repent of those moments in our history that have not pleased you, especially remembering the tragedy of forced removal of sovereign indigenous people and the sinful enslavement of people. On this weekend of celebrating freedom, may we in humility strive on towards that day that Dr. King foresaw, when freedom would truly ring from every place, where we can all join hands and say, free at last, making America what it ought to be. We ask your protection and guidance over our country and its leaders. Give them wisdom and discernment as they make decisions that impact the lives of so many. Protect and keep safe our ambassadors, our diplomats, and our service people all over the world. Guide our local leaders, especially our governor, state legislature, mayor, and city council. Bring justice where justice is due. Be with those who feel the sting of justice denied. Be with those who protest and who protect our right to protest. Be with our church as we take the next steps in faith, knowing that you will meet us there. And while we celebrate freedom, we ask especially that you would make your presence known to those yearning to be free, free from illness, free from loneliness and grief, anxiety, injustice, suffering. Help give us wisdom on ways to be a community as we walk alongside those in homelessness, those who work to break free from the disease of addiction, and those who experience the confinement and isolation of mental health crises. And as the summer heats up and travel plans are made, watch over our travelers. Allow them the joy of rest and true Sabbath, and bring them safely back home to us. We pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. As we prepare to give our tithes and offerings, we recognize that everyone is in a different financial situation, so that we might continue our vital ministries in this community and throughout the world. We invite you to give as you are able and as you feel led. For those worshiping with us online, you are welcome to give via the options listed on the screen or in the chat. Now let us offer our gifts, our tithes, our offerings, and our hearts to God, who loves us unconditionally. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, loving God, creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign. You spoke to us through the prophets, who looked for that day when justice shall roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. When nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Seated. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, and gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as together we proclaim the mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us who are gathered together, and on these gifts of bread and the cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood.
And by your Spirit, make us one with Christ, and one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. And now, with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray together the prayer Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
My family in Christ, this is the body of Christ, broken and given in love to you and to me and to all the world. And this is the cup of salvation, the cup of grace offered to all and poured out freely. The table is now set. Our host awaits us. Our host is Jesus the Christ himself, and all are welcome at this table. If this is your first time receiving communion in this particular congregation, just a few words to guide you along the way. Our choir will be served first, and they will come down and kneel at the altar rails, as all of us will be invited to do. After they have received, those in the balcony and transepts, we invite you please to go ahead and make your way forward. Don't be shy. Just come on up and keep the flow going all around the altar rails. We invite you to kneel at the altar rails and have your hands open. That will allow our servers to know that you have yet to be served. After receiving the elements, you can stay at these altar rails as long as you would like to pray and to ponder Christ's calling on your life. If you are unable to come forward, I will be making my way around the sanctuary with these prepackaged elements. If you prefer the prepackaged elements as well, just stay in your seat and wave to me as I walk by, and I will serve you in that way. Every time we gather around the table, we bring our gifts, and there's a different gift each month that we make. This month's communion offering will go to ODIHM, which stands for the Organization for the Development of the Indigenous Maya. We will take a group to ODIHM from this congregation in Guatemala, October 29th through November 6th. And I can think of no better example of what Jesus teaches in these verses we've considered than this group going to Guatemala, going with humility and vulnerability, being hosted and led by those who are already there, offering healing. We have two medical clinics there, and your offering will help support those two medical clinics and also to help pay for stoves that the group will help build while they're there. Our goal is $7,500, so we hope to make some big steps toward that goal today. You are invited. I am invited. Everyone is invited to this table, for here is offered to us all the grace that we need. So come and receive this feast. I invite you to rise in body or in spirit and join with me in giving thanks for the grace we have received at this table. You have given yourself to us, Lord. Your love has made us a new people. Your glory has filled our hearts. Amen. So now let us go to the world in joy, knowing the good news that we get to announce that people are loved, that this world belongs to God, and that we are all moving toward the kingdom together. Let us go in joy and love and peace. Amen.